summer. It's too hot now. So, you know, now we've got to work around that climate as well. It's climate change everything now these days, even our ceremony and the way we live now.
Welcome, everyone, to 100 Climate Conversations. Thank you so much for joining us. Yirrdjuri Wurrungmadji, Ray Johnston Yuwanadi, Wurradjuri Yunnavalladu. Hello, friends. My name is Ray Johnston. I'm a Wurradjuri woman, but I was born and raised on Darug and Gundagara country, which you might know better as the Blue Mountains region. That's where I have responsibilities to community and country, and I'm very grateful to be living there today. And I'm also very grateful to be here with you on the unceded land of the Sovereign Gadigal, and I wish to pay my deepest respects to their elders past and present for the great sacrifices that they have made so that we can be here today. And as we start this conversation, it's important to remember and acknowledge and respect the fact that the world's first scientists and technologists and engineers are the sovereign First Nations peoples of this continent from the world's oldest continuing cultures. And in my everyday, I'm a STEM journalist and broadcaster, and I get to speak to some absolutely incredible people that are working in their particular fields, you know, from their perspectives and from their lived experiences, to combat the greatest challenge that we are facing as human beings, and that is climate change. Today is actually number 76 of 100 conversations that are happening every Friday. And this series represents 100 visionary Australians that are taking positive action to respond to the most critical issue of our time, which is climate change. Now, we are recording live today in the boiler hall of the Powerhouse Museum. And before this was home to the museum, it was the Ultimo Power Station. And it was built in 1899, and it supplied coal-powered electricity to Sydney's tram system, and that ran all the way up into the 1960s. So in the context of this architectural artefact, we shift our focus forward to the innovations of the net zero revolution. Now, Norman Jerpala Frank is a Wurrumungu traditional owner, and he's dedicated to cultural and community development work that helps his people live healthy lives. He lives with his family at Village Camp near Tennant Creek in the Northern Territory, and is campaigning to bring solar power to his community. And Norman is also the board member of the Jula Lakari Council of Aboriginal Corporation and the Anyingingi Health Aboriginal Corporation as well. And we're so thrilled to have him join us today. Please join me in welcoming Norman. Thanks, Norman. I'll start by asking you to tell me about your country. Tell me about yourself.
Yeah. My name is Norman Frank Jubarula. Yeah, and I'm from Tennant Creek. I'm a local Wurrumal man, and I'm a traditional owner, native title holder for Tennant Creek and surrounding for the Wurrumal people, and I'm an elder as well. And I wear a few hats around Tennant Creek in the township, like for Jula Lakari, Anyingingi, Nyinka, CLC, few places there. So, and I grew up in Tennant Creek. I'm a local young fella. From there, I've been born there. But one thing, I went to school there, but I only went up to grade 5 or 6 because I come in from the station. See, we moved from the station back in 1977, back into the township, when people had their rights to get move into town. That's when my people moved back into Tennant Creek then. Yeah. I like to say a few things about myself. Who I am? I'm a Wurrumungu boy. I'm from a clan group north of Tennant Creek, from a place called Phillip Creek. From there, we call ourselves, our clan group call ourselves Buruta people. I'm a Buruta man. I'm from the Buruta clan group. We are from the Jalajirpa mob, Jalajirpa clan group. That's That's the white cockatoo, we call, where my clan group come from. From that place, Buruduk country. Yeah. And that's who I am. And that's my totem from my grandfather's side, from my father's father's side. And we use that for ceremonies through our initiation time. We use our white cockatoo or a few other totems that come across through our country so that we fit in, that we, when we have our ceremony, fits in our young fellas and our shields and our painting on the ground or our totem to go with the ceremonies. Yeah, when I went through my ceremony in another place, in a lower country, at Murray Down, but my father used my totem for my country to sing me with my country's totem so that I can fit into my great-grandfather's name. So I carry my great-grandfather's name, my grandfather, from my father's father name, his name was Budingor. That's my grandfather's name, my father's father's name. And I carry that today because through the ceremony with my grandfather's totem and his name. And that's why I carry his name still today. But I never really went to school, really, much. Because I don't know, how to read and write, really. But I'm up here, in that 100th conversation today. And I like to, tell my story. What I do today, I try really hard for my people through climate, and trying to tell people about work around my people and tell them about climate change, because it's a really big thing now. Yeah. But when I was a kid and as I was growing up in the bush, I never heard of climate change. I never heard of it, never did. And now I see it today, on news and on TV or here on the wireless. People talk about climate change now today, and it's true. It's happening out there, because our country is changing now and all these things are happening. Our billabongs going dry, our permanent water holes and rock holes. I never seen it when I was a kid, never went dry. But now today, sometime we go there's no water in there again. And the bird life, the plants, the bush tuckers, all not coming out in the right season. It's coming out in the wrong season. Animal breeding, different now, in the wrong season. Coming out of the hole or burying himself up. You don't see him anymore, because... And sometimes they come back out in the wrong time. Say like lizards. You don't see them in winter, but wintertime you still see them coming out. And turkeys, with eggs and chickens in the wrong time. Even emu. The only time emu have chickens is wintertime. Now you see emu having chickens in summer, but we don't see that. But now this climate's changing. It's real. It's out there, So we've got to start thinking what we're going to do.
And it gets really hot out there too, doesn't it? So it's like 49.9 degrees in Tennant Creek. What's it like out there on hot days like that?
Oh, terrible. You can't go out. You can't walk. The sole on your boot melts out. Walking along next minute, you feel these rocks sticking to your boots. Then you look down, your soul's gone.
Got no boots.
No boots, true. It happened a few times. And, it get that hot. It burns. Trees, kill all these trees. Nice shade. Some of them, them African mahogany trees. Used to be at the dam, at the Lake Marion Dam. There's nothing there, because the heat, too much. It just burned.
So how
like you say, was 49. Was sitting there once watching that clock, waiting to tick over to 50. It just sitting on 49. Yeah.
How do you keep yourself cool?
Oh, the only way you can keep yourself cool, have the sprinkler on or sit outside. If you're going to be outside, you know, have a swimming pool or something at least. Or you've got to be inside the house. We've got to have a split system or aircon. But if you're in the bush, you've got to sit near the water hole because you've got to be swimming. If not, you'll be burnt. I tell you the truth. That's how hot it gets.
So how does that hot weather change the way that you live? Like, you know, it would have been different when it wasn't quite that hot, right?
Nah, it was different. I remember in the communities when, back in the early 80s and early 90s, we used to live in these old tin sheds out in the community. That was then, you know, and it wasn't that hot. And, you know, we could stay in them tin sheds. But now, I think you never can now, because this climate is getting hotter and hotter. It's changing nearly, you know, every decade. Now it's, you know, it's more hotter. Now you can't live in a tin shed anymore, not like we used to. In the station, we used to live in old tin sheds. Yeah, back then, and nothing now.
How does the changing climate make you feel, seeing those changes to your country?
Well, it hurts me, it really hurts me, because we can't blame ourselves. We've got to blame the climate, how it's changing today. But like I said, old people didn't know anything about climate. And it was coming. Now, you know, it doesn't fit in our time today we live in, because our ceremonies, it's different as well. We gotta change our ceremony days and month because of the climate. We need to have a ceremony early now when it's probably just coming into winter or starting of winter, because you can't have young fellas sitting out in the bush or old people singing out in that 49 degrees heat. It's no good. It can kill. So, you know, young fellas today, we have to, you know, sing them in a different time now. And then we've got to work with school as well, you know, because school holidays, we have, you know, Christmas break. That's when we usually do, but that's summer. It's too hot now. So, you know, now we've got to start. We've got to change. We've got to work around that climate as well. The climate changed everything now these days, even our ceremony and the way we live now.
Mm. Now, in our last conversation, we talked to Dr. Simon Quilty, who you have a long-standing friendship with.
Yes.
And you collaborate with. He's a medical doctor that's been working in remote communities for over 20 years. What's it been like working with Simon?
Oh, really good, because, he was my best mate. I mean, he met years ago. When I first met him, he was a young fellow from Sydney, and I'm a man from the bush, and he came out and worked in a remote community called Utopia. Well, this was more than nearly 27, 26 years ago now, and that's where I first met him. And he's a very smart man, very smart man, Mr. Simon Quilty. And Simon Quilty, he taught me a lot in his way, you know, in the European way, bubbling your way of living. And I teach him a lot about Umbra anyway, our way, and me and him work together. And now I'm with him now today, still working with him and get along with him. And he's like my brother. I gave him a skin name, that's me, Mr. Yubarul as well. So when he go out in the community, he say, my name is Simon, my skin name Yubarul, and he fits right in with everybody else, see, because he got a skin name from me, and he's my brother too. So, and Simon, as me and him work now today, really good, and we're doing things, you know, and work around climate. And very another good thing, when I went around to see him in Alice, he was staying in this house in Alice Springs, and he showed me he doesn't have to pay power much anymore because he got that solar on top of his roof. He got panels. And I said, hey, mate, how you got that there? And he said, when I moved into his house, it was already there. And I reckon, well, I'd like to have one of them one day. And he said, no worries, I'll try to get you one. And he helped me to get one put on my roof. And right now today in Tennant Creek, I'm the very first Umbrani person to have solar panels on my roof. And not only in Tennant Creek, in the Northern Territory. So, you know, that was a very smart move for that. My brother, old Simon Quilty, that was a very smart thing. And now, you know, I get interviewed from nearly everybody or from medias from everywhere, all over the world, come and ask me about my solo. And now I want to see solo, you know, right through the Barclay. And now with the solo mob, a lady called Lauren, she helped me, and she's helping a few other communities north from Tennant Creek, just past about 20 k's out of Elliot, a place called Mullinger, where my family come from as well, helping them and got them started with solo on their roofs as well. And people from Borroloola, he's helping them about there in their community too as well. So she does a really good thing now and doing a really good job for everybody, you know, and I like to see that through right through the Barclay. I want to see the government, to, you know, try to help everyone, Brenny, the way as Laurel helped me, you know, and help and Simon did, put a panel. But it's a challenge with the government, but you got to go through a lot of hoops to get there, and I did. I had to go through, you know, a lot of hoops. Not only with housing, I had to go through with power and water as well. Yeah, and I got the panel up there, and they put that up there on my roof. But then he had to take another 3 months with power and water to just put one switch on.
Yeah, 3 months.
3 months.
To put a switch on?
Yeah, just to flick one little switch. Just on and off switch. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, took them 3 months.
Tennant Creek, it has over 300 days a year of sunshine. That's a lot of sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty important for the community to be able to have solar out there, isn't it?
Yep. Especially out in the communities. You know, you can't be using diesel, burning diesel all the time because it costs too much. Service, oil, all that, you know, costs too much. But solar, nobody's going to take solar away or the sun away from you. The sun's going to be there all the time. So why use diesel than generators while you got that sun there? So it's a very smart thing today. I reckon we should have more solar in these communities or around in the township as well in these houses because it costs too much.
And you need to have the solar to be able to power things like air conditioning there. Because
yep.
Tell me what it's like to live in the houses at Tennant Creek. What are they built like?
Well, I reckon that's true. You need power and you need solar because if you're like me, because I'm a sick man. I'm not a really healthy man. I got chronic disease. I got a lot of things wrong with me. I got renal, you know, I got sugar and all that. And you need a fridge. You need a fridge going 24/7 because of that heat. And if you're summertime, you need a fridge. You have to need a fridge. That's one thing about health today. You need fridge for your medication. Because these doctors and, you know, and the nurses in these hospitals or the health clinics, they don't know how we live. They don't know. They send you back home with all this medication. They don't know where you're going to stick them or what you do home. Because that's one thing about, you know, where Umbrani people live. You know, some of us people, we live out bush. Some of us just live in a windbreak or just in the outskirts of town. Some live in a house. But the main important thing, we need a fridge in the house for us today, and we need power, all the time power. That's the main number one key today, to keep our fridge going for our medication, keep things cool, because you can't keep your insulin in a bag. If you're on insulin for your sugar, the nurses always say, you got to keep this in a cool spot and put it in the fridge. You put it outside, one day it's like an egg. It'll boil, it'll cook.
Yeah.
It'll just probably, and then you can't take it. You can't shoot yourself up the next day because it's off already. Yeah.
And how is the power in these houses at the moment without solar? How do you get power?
Well, at the moment we live off the power of the whole township from the powerhouse. And we use them smart meters today. And smart meters, how they work, you have to put money in. $20 is nearly, my daughter always tells me she put $20 in nearly every day just to keep that power going. $20 every day. You put $20 now, by the time tomorrow morning you get up, it goes off at 9 o'clock. Then you got to put another $20 or $30 in. And if you ever use your power over the weekend, you get up Monday morning. If it went off on Friday afternoon, it doesn't go off till Monday morning until 9 o'clock again. And then you got to back pay the power. Sometimes it clocks up to $70, $80, and then you got to pay all that again back before your power come back on, you know, and it costs too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, too much.
But you have to have it going because
otherwise... You have to have it going, that's right.
You can't live.
You can't live. Because you got kids, you got kids and you got old people staying in the house. You need the place, need to be cool in summer. And then when you get winter, you need to keep it warm.
Yeah.
You need to use that heater then. And then if you got no power, what you gonna do? You can't do nothing. Just gotta have to make a fire or something, sit outside. Yeah.
So there've been some newly built government houses in your community, and I've seen photos of them. They don't really look like homes to me. They're just like buildings, aren't they?
I reckon they build these houses today. They're not fit for the community, and they're not suited for the climate for us today. I think, the old house I'm living in, it's about 48-year-old, and my dear, somewhere there, 45-year-old house, been built back in 1980s, or 1980, I think it'd been built that year. And that house I'm staying, I think it'd been built for England, because that house I'm staying in, it's very, very hot in summer. When it comes to winter, it's very, very cold.
They don't use any insulation, do they?
Nah,
nothing.
Not really.
Nothing.
You want to see my windows.
Mm.
You know, my kids can't even look through it.
Yeah.
It's too high.
So what's wrong with the new houses? Tell me why
they
don't work.
The new houses, they're building the same, and they're like prison.
Mm.
If the doors can't open, and if you've got a fire in the house, man, I don't know how you're going to get out of there. Because I tell you what, you got them bars at them, you got them screams at the window. You can't break through them, and they all perspex, the glasses, they're not glass.
Perspex, not glass.
You won't break it. You won't get through it.
So you and Simon, you have a new initiative that you're getting off the ground, a new housing collaboration that you're working on.
Yeah.
So tell me about
it. We're working on a collaboration with our own. We're trying to start a little corporation sort of thing, building thing, called Wilyagunda. But that's what we call a Wilyagunda, but we try to call a Wilyachuljunda, really. That means standing, we're all standing strong. But Wilyagunda means, in my language, standing strong. And we really want to call it, me and Simon were saying, Wilyachuljunda, because that's about all of us, everybody. So that we're going to try, well, I'm trying to build 3 houses on my block the way how we want to build it in our own design, so that we can, you know, build something that we suit and it can fit into our climate, in our country, in our, you know, where we live, how we live, so that we can all, the house fits, how we fit into the house. And culturally, I want to do really culturally, that we can have 2 kitchens, fireplace outside, to, you know, at least, because really you need a fire all the time. Umbrani people, we live around a fire. That's to keep the spirit away, because if you don't have a fire and smoke, to keep that jangilgi. Jangilgi means spirit. You got to keep that spirit away. Yeah, because that's a very important thing. Because if you're going to have a baby around and kids, that jangilgi will target babies all the time, or kid, he'll get into him. He's lippy. He dig it in there, his nail, his finger, the claw of the devil is very, very spiritually, the jungle gill, he'll bite him, gets in a kid. That's why you need a fire all the time. That's why I said to Simon, for a start, if I got to build a house, I have to have a fire pit. And if I got to have a house, I need 2 kitchens. And he asked me why. And I said, that's culturally, because we need 2 toilets, 2 things, we've got to have 1 outside, 1 another in, another one, another in, or shower, because we can't be walking on top of each other, I said. And always, Umbrani, we got poisons, you know, against our mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, or son-in-laws. We can't walk on top of each other or bumping in each other. It's culturally, we can't be doing that. Yeah, because we call them Mimi, we call them Lambara, we call them Karigis, like son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws. That's how we gotta live. Because one time before, I remember in the station back in the bush, we used to have single quarters, men, women. We call them Milganaja, that's women's quarters. Jangai, that's men's quarters. And in a jangai and a milganaja, there always been an old person, always been there all the time, staying there. And when the young people get pushed out of the camp from their mother and father, and when they're teenagers, they're 11, 12, 13-year-old, they go to the single quarters, and they go stay there. And, you know, there'll always be someone there, and they grow up there. And that's where they, you know, can find their way then, in their quarters. And we always sleep with our heads to the east and our foot to the west. That's the way everybody all been grow up, even in the bush. And that's how we need to sleep. If we sleep the wrong way, we wake up your mind somewhere. you're different. You don't know which way, north, east or west. You'd Warringah. Warringah mean mad. In your body, it's in your head. Your bearing go wrong.
So if you're sleeping in these government-built houses, they're not built facing the right way, so you've got all your beds like this.
Yeah, sleeping the wrong way, that's right.
Yeah.
They put us that way.
Yeah.
The same thing today. The government, these houses, we just get chucked in there. We got no choice. No choice, nothing. Yeah. As soon as your name come up, you got a house. So what they do, you give you a key, and they chuck you straight in these houses, without induction, nothing. You don't learn nothing. You don't know anything. They don't give you a fridge. They don't give you anything. You got to be in that house. You got to find your own way. Well, they give you, they hand you over the key and the house. And, you know, that's just not right. And Umbrani people, you know, they just happy they got a roof over their head again and a house. And then they don't tell them anything until they learn along and pick up themselves. And that's very true. And these houses, they chuck us in. We don't even work with them. That's their design. They're building. That's just the way they want it. That's how they've been doing that for years. Government been doing that for years, since mission days.
Yeah.
When they used to have our kids, our great-grandmothers and grandfathers in the mission, they used to take them in these missions, in these dormitories, chuck them straight in there, trying to teach them, go to school, learn them how to speak English. Don't want to hear them talking in their language or singing in their own culture. They change their ways. Still today, they're still brainwashing our people with all these people trying to go back to community. They're sucking them back into town or in these bigger communities and building their way and how they want them. Still there. They're doing the same thing. They're not changing the government. I see this happening still today in these bigger communities like Mbladawaj, like at Utopia. Utopia is a big community. It's a very big community. These people have been moved back in their homelands, back to these boards. They're not building them places up anymore, these communities. They're building one place up in the middle, Alpara. Alpara, they're sucking them back into one little group again. They got their thumb over them, try to get them people. Even at Bloodwood, same thing. You know, and I feel sorry for these people. Why are they listening to these government? Can't they break away and try to do things themselves? You know? And now I like to see Umbrani people go, you know, go back to our old people. Go back what they were thinking. Go back to the timeline, what they put these places for a purpose, our organizations. Them organizations been there, put there for a purpose in our community. So Umbrani people, we've got to think, we've got to go back to this timeline. My old people, they couldn't read or write, but they fought, They fought for my country, and they put these organizations there, like Jolalikari, like Anyinginyi, Babulu Apakai, our language center. They put them there for a purpose. So nobody going to change the things what old people have been put there. They put them there for a reason, for the next generation, the next generation, next generation. And the next generation better think, what's the purpose the place been there for? And you know, it's there for a reason. And nobody going to change it. If somebody going to change it, need to jump right back. And always say, why are all people been put this body here? Why they put it there for? They put it there for a purpose. See, like Jill DeCurry, it's there for housing and for work, for training for our people. You know, that's what the purpose has been there for. So nobody got to change that way. Anyinginyi, they put that place there, that health center, for our health And now people, instead of going to the hospital, you don't have to book, you don't have to make appointment. You're supposed to just walk straight in and say, look, I need to do my dressing today. You don't, it's not for appointment, no. It's just, it's there for our community. So it's there for, you know, thing. And my old people, they put them things there, but they couldn't read and write, read or write, but they had a vision. Vision. So, you know, and they couldn't, they didn't have a plan, but they had a vision. No plan. That vision been drive them to where we are today. That's why I like to see my people always, you always got to go back to that timeline. That's what I think today, and it's a really good thing. Even my old people never heard of climate change, but now we have to think about that today. It's a really big thing.
You've been co-authoring some papers, some academic papers with Simon. What's that process been like?
Well, that process has been really good, I reckon, because we need to get that message out there to, you know, Republicans and people around the world need to hear how can we work in two ways of this world today. One brand new way, bubbling new way. That's how me and Simon work. He worked with me with bubbling new way. He teach me things bubbling new way. And me, I teach him my way, Umbra anyway, what my thinking and how we feel. Because what we feel when I tell him, Waranga is your bully, your gumbumbo, your brains. You need to think, you got to use your brain. Before you got to do things, you got to have feeling. Your munko, I always tell him how you feel. Your munko always got to tell you something, what's right, what's wrong. That's how I always tell him all the time. You've got to have your gut feeling, mate. That's what I always say to him. And he always say, oh, that's true. You know, Umbrani and Bablinji, we think the same thing. But Umbrani is a bit smarter and we Mukujango is. Mukujango is with everything. Because everything that we do, we think before we do something. We got a plan. That's why I always say all the time, the important thing you got to do, my mate, you got to shake that bush. If you're gonna make something happen, you got to shake that bush all the time. You got to talk and you got to be strong. You got to shake that bush. If you shake that bush, you'll have seeds falling off the tree, mate. And once it hit the earth, it comes up again. They grow. It's like me. I come from the grassroots. That's what happened to my old people. They put something there, but they fell over. But what they did, they make sure put us young fellows, young people behind coming up again. That's why we come from the grassroots people. And as we come up behind our old people, we've got to be stronger. We've got to work. Dictate with this world we're living in today with technology, and we're getting smarter. And my kids, I want to put them to school, learn them more, because more they go to school, more they learn more and get smarter, more than, you know, more than us, more than me, more than my old people. Because I didn't go to school, like I said, you know, and my great-grandfather and my grandfather didn't go to school, but they were smart, because they planned something that they had a vision of what they wanted to see. Yeah, and I like to see my kids, what they're going to come out to be. My grandkids going to be, what they're going to be. I like to see, I've seen my kids now, but I want to see my grandkids, well, how they're going to come in the next 10 years, 5 years' time. They're going to be smart, or they're going to be like me. I hope one day, because my father was a very smart man. He, you know, he done a lot of things for me. And when he was sitting on his last leg and ready to go, he said to me, well, he said to us all of us, my brothers and sisters and his grandkids while I left this place on a platter for you. That's why today we can go out there today. We got a home to go to. We got a homeland. My dad would have left that there for me, a legacy, something behind. And when I go, I hope something going to be left behind for my kids, like Willa Janda now, you know. I want to put that in a place, leave that behind for my great-grandkids and my kids.
How do you think Western science and Indigenous knowledge need to work together for the future?
That's why we talk about two ways
learning.
Yeah, that's two ways learning. You got to learn two ways, Umbreni way, Bubbling your way. And that's why we think the more you learn Bubbling your way, the more smarter you get. Like I always tell Simon, I always tell him, you see Umbreni man, a black fella, if he's smart in two ways, you'll be careful. He's a very dangerous man, very powerful. I always tell him that, and he'll always say, you're right. Yeah, because he's a very powerful man. He think two ways then, yeah. And that's the way, you know, I think as well.
Yeah. Mm. Do you think that we can solve the problems that communities like yours are facing with housing in the future?
See, these houses, what me and Simon are doing now, these three houses we want to try and get going for Willa Janda and for the community in Tennant Creek, these three houses, they're not the same. The one that my missus worked with the architect and her design, it's different than my sister's and my sister-in-law's because we're trying to do three houses on my block. And they them three houses, we want to use for an explay for the time being. Explay so that people can come and see, you know.
Mm.
And we'll get that message out there through council meetings so that people can come and see what kind of a design and have your own choice. How you want to design your house.
Do you think the people in the cities know what it's like, the housing out there?
I don't think so. These people in the city, they never come out and see how we lived for the last 100 years, you know. Like now we try to move along and change. We're going to live in that to this time today. With the roof over our head. Not like one time we used to live in humpies, you know, without a door and a window. We could walk straight in and out. Today we've got to walk in a door and look through a window. So we've got to have a house, eh?
Through the perspex.
Yep, that's it. So we've got to try to move forward.
What's your message for the people in the cities, the people that don't have any idea what it's like to be out in a community like that?
Right.
What do you want them to know?
I like to let them know, you know, we battlers, we struggle, we trying to move forward, Umbreni people. We want to live like you in the city today. We want to live in a house, a decent house, building, something that we can stay in. Somewhere we can keep warm and cool in summer and, you know, have a roof over our head from rain. You know, we don't want to be patching old humpy up again, nah. We want to live like you today in the city with a roof over our head, walking through a door, switch on a switch for a light at night, you know. That's the way I want to see that message for these people living in the city. Have a look where how we live. We've been living for a long time, you know, in the bush without a power. But can we move forward today to help Umbreni people, you know? Have a look back, you know, look back what were how we used to live. Can we live in the same world today as we all work in this country today, and how are we living? We should be together. You know, these city people, I look at this place, they live with time, date. Time, date.
Calendars.
Days, everywhere. Calendars, you know. And like me, I come into Sydney, I see this place, too big for me, too rushy, too big. And I said to Simon, if I take a walk up the street, I'll get lost. Yeah. I'll get lost. I wouldn't know which direction.
You can't see where you are.
Yeah, I can't see.
Yeah.
If I walk out in the bush, I know where I am. I can get my bearing right. I can look at a hill. I can come back past. I know where this creek is.
Yep.
But here, everything looks the same. You got cars running. You got this. You got a bitumen road. You got a sidewalk. You know, I'll get lost. That's what I said to Simon. Yeah. Another thing is, I can't read or write.
Yeah.
I'll see every sign, it'll be looked the same to me.
So what needs to happen now to get the housing corporation happening, to make that a reality and help everyone design their own home for how they live?
Well, we need to collaborate. We need to work together or, you know, support us or something. We're looking for a bit of support. That's all. Just asking for support. That's what we need, me and Simon, and that's what we need to do. We need to get with that support to get us going.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then we might work together and, you know, work together and get something up and going.
Yeah.
Because that's what I like to see. And I hope it would, because I like to see my people, you know, and me at least. You know, out there and trying to do something for my people, and not only for myself, for the whole Barkly. And in the Barkly, there's not only one tribe. There's about 6-7 different tribes. And I like to see, you know, help a lot. Not only my tribe, I want to see Walpri, Wanmunba, Wakaya, Yawara, you know, Walpri people, Kingili, Murpara, you know, we all lot. Together to help each other and, you know, get a better housing and better, and our own way of designing our own houses. That's the way I like to see.
Thank you so much for your time today, Norm. It's been fantastic talking to you.
No, thank you.
Now, to follow this program online, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. To visit the 100 Climate Conversations exhibition or to join us for a live recording, go to 100climateconversations.com. Now, this is a significant new project for the museum, and records of these conversations, they're going to form a new climate change archive preserved for future generations in the powerhouse collection of over 500,000 objects that tell the stories of our time. You can see more from the museum at Powerhouse on Twitter and at Powerhouse Museum on Instagram and Facebook.